Ron and Anian.
You know those Abbott and Costello movies where they're in the haunted house and Costello's sitting there and he's kind of tiptoeing around and, you know, the audience sees Frankenstein and you know, you want Costello to turn around and he's just kind of, and that's me.
The Car Doctor.
All of a sudden, Costello woke up and he said, wait a minute, the monster's right behind me. Because right at the moment I see the flame or the smoke coming out of the alternator, I read the part in the recall notice that says, and the alternator's going to catch fire. And I went,
Welcome to the radio home of Ron and Anian, the Car Doctor. Since 1991, this is where car owners the world over turn to for their definitive opinion on automotive repair. If your mechanic's giving you a busy signal, pick up the phone and call in. The garage doors are open.
But I am here to take your calls at 855-560-9900.
And now,
I don't even know what I'm talking about!
Here's Ronnie.
Hey, it's time to start your engines. Hello and welcome. Ron and Annie and the Car Doctor here at 855-560-9900. More information at cardoctorshow.com, podcasting and all the usual good stuff that you'll find there and everywhere else. The Car Doctor is just all over the place expanding. We just pick up another, I can't talk about it yet, but we've got a couple more affiliates coming online in the next 2 weeks. So we're looking forward to that, to reach out to more people across this great country of ours. And the really good news this week is I didn't start any more fires this week. Nothing burned down. I survived the week at the shop. The trans is actually out of the Suburban. I'm finished painting the floor pan underneath as I'm rust-oleing them, because I figured if I got 15 years out of the Suburban the first time around, I'm good for another 15 if I do all this right and make some improvements. You know what I realized that General Motors does wrong when they install, and a lot of the car companies do this actually, they install these plastic clips that hold the metal lines like fuel lines, brake lines, trans cooler lines. They install these plastic clips and they put a steel line in the plastic and then the plastic absorbs the moisture. How come they don't put a dab of grease in that plastic clip? Right? I was looking at it. I mean, I took apart this, and for those of you just haven't tuned in recently, I'm doing a trans in the Suburban, the pampered, always garaged, always maintained 04 Suburban I've had forever that, you know, 56,000 miles it puked the trans. Consequently, we're doing a starter. The starter's got to come out to do the trans. The trans cooler lines are rusting. Let's do trans cooler lines. The trans cooler lines are connected to the radiator and the auxiliary trans cooler. Let's just change that, too, and get it over with. You know, let's just go through the truck and do this once. Everything's 15 years old. So they put the steel line in the plastic clip. You know, that's really bad engineering. That's really stupid, all right? And I remember one of the things, and again, we're back to old school stuff, right? What worked from, you know, 40 years ago? Let's continue to do it, okay? And it was a dab of yellow grease. Let's take a dab of yellow grease, which, you know, from what I understand, dealer techs just hate to see yellow grease. They know that was an independent repair shop because dealer techs don't seem to use yellow grease. I haven't figured that out why yet. Why out yet? Out why? Yeah, why out? Yeah, one or the other. 220, 221, whatever it takes. And, you know, just put a smear of yellow grease in there, clip the line into the plastic, and we're going to find out if that's – it can't make it any worse. Of course, I've painted all the lines with Benjamin Moore Rust-Oleum Low Luster Alkaloid, so that'll be the official paint. When I die, you can use that to paint my tombstone. It'll last forever. Yes, Mr. Ray.
Yellow grease, the older grease, doesn't that dissolve plastic?
Not that I'm aware of. I don't think so. It's impervious to everything. Because if it does, why do we used to put a smear of, well, white grease, yellow grease on O-rings and things. You know, we used to use it as to hold ring gaskets in place and things like that. So to my knowledge, it doesn't damage.
Because I've always heard to keep petroleum products or something based on petroleum away from those things. Or is this grease not based on petroleum?
I don't know what it's, you know, Tom, it's an excellent question. I'm going to find out. So 15 years from now, when I take it apart, if the plastic clips are still there, well, no. Because I'm counting on getting at least another 15 years out of this this vehicle. So it's, at the current state. I figure in about 15 years, another 15 years, it gives me 30 altogether. I'll have all the bugs worked out of it, and I can go back to General Motors and say, why don't you design it and make it look like this? All right? Just because that's the way it is. I want to talk to you about, I want to have a little heart-to-heart chat, and I know we got somebody on the phone. Let me just get this out of the way first. I want to talk to you about the three hardest things in life, and it's, the three hardest places to walk into is where this really starts. I think it's really tough to walk into a doctor's office for the first time. there seems to be a lot of confusion in doctor's offices or some of the ones I've been in lately. And it's there's always a different routine and always a different set of policies. And you're trying to establish a relationship. I'm not beating up doctors. I'm just saying the process, the functionality of into the doctor's office. It's a little intimidating. I think police stations are the same way, right? Who in the room, anybody ever walk into a police station and not feel overwhelmed? Right? I mean, Tony, you ever feel overwhelmed when you walk into a police station? And you've done it enough times, though, I'm sure. So, hold your votes. So, and then the third place has to be a repair shop. Maybe I'm sensitive to it. I don't know. Maybe I'm nuts. A potential customer walked into the shop yesterday, Rick. I don't know Rick from Boo. And had a 15-minute conversation with him. You know, you sort of it's a jousting match, all right? It's a back and forth. You're trying to establish the relationship, because I think auto repair, like that one with the doctor, like that one walking into the police station, it tends to be a bit of a relationship. And, you know, you're trying to feel your way and figure things out. And, you know, who can you trust and who can't you trust? And it's the way society is built today, I think. I really think we as human beings all go through it. I'm also overwhelmed, just for the record. Now, there's a subcategory here, because I'm overwhelmed walking into delis and bakeries, because I can never really decide, you know, what to buy, what to eat.
We can tell by your waistline that you used to go into delis and bakeries.
Yeah, but I'm getting svelte now, you know. By the way, I didn't see you at the gym this morning.
I'm secure with myself.
Yeah, really. You know, you're happy looking the way you are. I can understand that.
Thank you.
No problem. And the gym was brutal this morning, by the way. So Rick comes in, and his daughter's Volkswagen is overheating. It's a Beetle. And he starts off right off the bat with a conversation about he would like me to just replace the water pump and the timing belt. And I can tell by talking to him that he has done his internet research. And I get it. And, you know, like I told him, you know, the internet has turned everybody into mechanics. Everybody's an internet mechanic. The question is the guy you're reading about on the internet, is he an idiot, or does he really know what he's talking about? And therein, you know, it's like the comedians that do the jokes about personality-enhancing drugs, but what if you're an idiot and they make you a bigger one? You know, so it's really the truth when it comes down to reading something on the internet and believing it. And Rick was very receptive. To his credit, he got it. He, you know, we sat and we had the whole conversation about timing belt, and we're going to use Volkswagen parts and the cost factor, and, you know, how we're going to try and do things as one, because it seems Volkswagen is no different than a lot of the car companies out there. Everything is plastic. You touch one thing and, you know, there's a ripple effect. So you're in there. Do it all. Get it done. Get it over with. And it's got to be hard for him, a guy like Rick. And I said that to him, not just because he happened to walk in as a consumer for the first time, but because Rick used to sell auto parts. And it was interesting to hear. He said, I sold auto parts for 15 years. And we had the whole conversation. He's a gearhead. He's a car guy. He's got a couple of older Mopars from the 70s and the 60s. And it was really funny. He said, the problem I see in auto repair shops is, and this is how you know I think you make a connection with somebody, because they kind of, you know, they let down their guard and they start to talk to you heart to heart. He said, is, I can't tell you how many repair shops would call us when I was in the parts business and say, do you have a radiator for such and such? And if you said no, they would say, okay, just send me a can of black spray paint. And I would be a can of black spray paint and some sealer. And, you know, he said there's just so much ineptitude and dishonesty and corruption. He says, I can't find anybody to bring my car to. And that's what makes it so hard for somebody like him to walk into a repair shop, because he's been polluted. And that's part of my job. My job is to unpollute him. And I will if he comes back. I gave him the speech, you got to give me a year. And I think that you, when you walk into a repair shop, you've got to give anybody a year. You can't judge a mechanic by the first experience. Well, in the sense that as long as it's a good one, all right? If they fix the car the first time, they deserve a shot at fixing the car the second time, all right? If they fix the car a second time, you know, and so on. All right. Auto repair, unlike baseball, football, and a lot of other sports, is based on the predication that you're always right and you always fix it correctly the first time. You can't lose. There's no losing season in baseball. I know nobody that's going back to a mechanic because, you know, they only hit the ball 3 out of 10 times. They, you know, out of 10 repairs, they only got it right 3 times. Nobody's going back for that. You got to hit the ball 1,000%. You've got to be on target each and every time. Where will Rick go? I don't know. I was backed up a week. I can't get to it till a week from Monday. So we'll see what happens. But it just made me realize, and I told him in no uncertain way, I said, you know, I understand how hard it is to walk into a repair shop. It's hard for me to walk into a repair shop. I'm out on the road, I get a flat tire somewhere, I'm 7 hours from home and I need to go buy a tire, a battery. It's happened. It hasn't happened a lot, but it's tough. Repair shops don't seem to be very friendly places, unlike delis and bakeries, which to me are still tough to walk into because there's so many choices. You're like, just give me one. Tony, if you don't shut up, you're not getting a chocolate cookie next week. You're cut off. Okay. See, he won't tell you that part, folks. We found a new deli that Tony likes, and they have these big, giant chocolate sugar cookies, just like him. It's really sweet. So, anyway, that's our guy, Tony. Maybe when we come back, we'll get a scan tool out of him. I'm Ron Ananian, the Car Doctor, 855-560-9900. When we come back, we're going to open up the phones and go talk to Gloria in Hartford, Connecticut. Stay tuned. Wait, I don't want to talk yet. I like this music. It's Shaft. Right on. Can we get it right on, Anthony? No. Can we get a scan for it? Okay, later. Ron Ananian, the Car Doctor. And we're back, 855-560-9900. By the way, the whole point of that opening conversation is it's about the relationship. And you got to have a relationship with a mechanic like you have to have it with a doctor. And, you know, maybe sometimes you got to have a relationship with the cops, too, in that sense. And actually, you do. I take that back. You do have to have a relationship with the cops because you got to take care of the cops and talk to them. And they'll talk to you, and everybody gets along. That's part of life. Anyway, Gloria, Hartford, Connecticut. I'm going to stop being Father Ron and go back to being the Car Doctor. How can I help you?
Hi, Ron. Do you recommend Angie's List for mechanics?
That's a hard call, Gloria. We're on Angie's List. I know other guys that are on Angie's List. I still think the best way to find a mechanic is word of mouth. But, I take that back. I think it depends on what you're looking for. You know, what do you look for in a mechanic? People usually give me, and I always ask that question, people will say, well, I want it fixed right. And then somewhere along the way, price comes into it, because I get it. You know what? Some people like a McDonald's hamburger. Some people like a steakhouse hamburger. Some people like a diner hamburger. There's different tastes, and that's okay. There's different levels, and there's a different budgets, and all that makes sense. I think the number one factor with mechanics that people are really looking for is honesty and ability.
But honesty is hard to judge. You're not talking to a psychiatrist, you know what I mean? So
right.
What you want is somebody who is going to do your job right.
Well, and I think
fair price. Give you a fair price and not be poking around with, well, they tell you pretty much what their prices are, you know, right on a list usually in the mechanic's office. They'll tell you that what the cost is for certain things.
Yeah.
That's nice. That's
well,
nice to know.
So wait a minute, let's have that conversation. So what's a fair price? Define a fair price. Four-wheel brakes on something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for
I don't know, it'll tell you that they get so much an hour,
right?
And brakes are so many hours, you know, and so you get some feel before you get the bill of what it's going to cost you. And I like that, you know, particularly coming from a senior citizen.
And I can see that. That makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens though when that first time mechanic? Here, I'll tell you a story. I'll tell you a really good story. This week, we had he's probably a 20-year customer, maybe 25, a Toyota Camry. It needed an alternator, and, you know, it was diagnosed the battery was going dead, the lights were getting dim, and we checked the charging system, and the alternator had low output. We have to put an alternator in the car. Okay. To put an alternator in a Camry, it's a little bit involved. The bumper's got to get moved, the radiator's got to come out, that corner of the car's got to come apart. So, you know, let's not start it today, let's start it tomorrow. He brings it back the next day. We have the alternator in stock, we start it, we ordered, we have it on the shelf, we start on it early in the day and finish it. And when we're done, the car has this weird vibration, not a vibration, but like a rattling noise. And I said, gee, where the heck did that come from? And I dig into it a little deeper. And on a hunch, I grab the water pump pulley, and it rocks. It moves back and forth. It's not terribly worn, but it's worn. It's going to need a water pump, V6 Camry. So the moral to the story is, or the question becomes, did we do anything wrong? We put an alternator in the car. We diagnosed a bad alternator. And there's no way on God's green earth I can possibly twist every water pump pulley every time I check an alternator to see if it's good or bad, you know, until it either kicks its head up or, you know, it's I'm in the job. Now, you know, Harvey was a regular customer. He gets it. He says, you know what, I'll come back in a couple of weeks. We'll do the water pump. But imagine if that was a first-time customer. You know, and that's a problem. And that's
My mind would go toward, you'll find me more work to do on my car.
Right. And I've got to tell you, I understand that. I understand why the first-time customer would think like that. I've also got to tell you they're wrong. All right, because I didn't break that water pump as the mechanic. I found it at that point in the process. But if we were going by the book, nowhere in the textbook explanation of diagnosing a bad alternator does it say check the water pump, see if it's bad. It's just an occurrence. And I think, you know, it comes down to this. I think auto repair now and ever so much more in the future, as it always has been, is going to be that relationship thing. So, and Gloria, I get what you're saying. All right, it's a budget thing. It's a cost thing. It's a, you know, it's unfortunate. Now, if that happens every time, then something's wrong. It's gonna happen once in a while. That's gonna happen once in a while. There's gonna be a bump in the road.
But when you involve the customer, you make a call to them and say, look, we found something else.
Right.
Okay, or this thing is rocking and it's not anything that we created or we upset in the car.
It's just
it. You involve them every step of the way. So, I mean, you sue them into another repair, you know?
Well, and listen, let's say it went the other way. All right? And it does. And people have short-term memory. I've learned that, all right? Where you'll look at the car for the bad alternator and everything tells you it's a bad alternator and you'll go to unplug the alternator and you'll find, wow, look at that. The wire's broken in the connector. And, hey, you know what, Gloria? All I got to do is fix this connector. It's going to take an hour instead of $900. And Gloria's all excited. Hey, this is great. But Gloria doesn't, not you, but you get the point. Gloria may not remember that 6 months later when I find the bad water pump on the next job. Hey, Gloria, don't go away. We didn't get to your question yet, but we will, I promise. I'm enjoying this. Good call. 855-560-9900. Ron and Annie, the car doctor, and Gloria. We'll both be back right after this.
Right, if you call and we're not live, you can leave a message and we'll call you back to get you on the air with Ron. 855-560-9900. Speaking of Ron, here he is.
Welcome back. Ron and Annie, the Car Doctor, 855-560-9900. If you need me during the week, by the way, ron@cardoctorshow.com. Gloria, you're still there.
I'm still here, and I have a 2000 Toyota Solera, four-cylinder, 156,000 miles.
Just broken in.
And I can't, what?
Just broken in.
Just broken in. I thought you said, I just heard just broken.
No.
Well, you know what? When I pump gas, it clicks off all the time. I like spend days trying to get $15 worth of gas in my car. I get frustrated and I just leave the gas station. You know, so it's been diagnosed. Maybe it could be spiders. This was from the dealer. And I walked away with $200 bill, but no answer.
Okay.
So other people say it could be a crimped wire, but I cannot hold the nozzle. I have to hold it very loosely,
right,
and let gas go in, and then pull it out a lot. So
Okay, let me ask you a question, and this is not meant to be an insult. You remember the days when you'd open a soda can with a can opener and you had to open up both sides? Right? You'd have to open up one side to pour the soda and open up the other side. If you didn't open up the other side, the soda didn't pour out of the can, right?
Oh, I don't recall that, but that's okay.
I remember that. Jeez, I remember that. That was like...
I think I'm older than you.
Feels like yesterday. Yeah, you don't remember that, you know. Well, I heard senior
that.
Citizen before, so I assumed. I apologize. But yeah, the idea about equal pressure. So gas tanks and gas cans are really the same way. When you're putting fuel in the tank, you know, you're building pressure in a closed container, so they have to have a way to vent that. They have to have a way to let the pressure out of the tank to put it somewhere so that you can displace the fumes with fuel, right? Makes sense?
Yes.
So, you know, there's a couple of things involved here. There's a vent line, which is a vent. It's imagine the dryer in your house. If it didn't have a vent hose on it, where would the hot air go? It would build up enough pressure and enough heat, and eventually it'd be a problem. So they put a vent hose on the gas tank to take the fumes and allow them to be pushed into a charcoal canister for storage.
That's been brought up, yes.
Okay. So one of the things we would do to diagnose this is find the vent line, which is either going to be on top of the tank, it might have access there around the tank area or at the top of the filler neck, and just disconnect it. Go to the gas station. Try and put gas in it. Mm-hmm. If you can put gas in it, the problem is in the vent hose down, either in the canister, the vent hose, the vent. All right, but at least it's on that side of the system. If you still can't put fuel in it, then there's probably a problem with the filler neck itself. The filler necks on a lot of cars, and yours is no exception, are two-piece. There's an inner and an outer sleeve on a lot of the cars today. And what'll happen is the inner sleeve has a clamp where it goes to the neck, and that clamp comes loose and the inner hose falls off. You can still put fuel in the tank, but this inner sleeve being displaced now creates pressure and it causes the pump to click off on a repeated basis. Click, 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 you know, and it won't allow you to put fuel in the tank. But it's just a simple process. It's not that difficult to really resolve. You know, they've just got to understand it. It all comes back to the basics of, you know, pressure in, pressure out. It's got to go somewhere. So where's it getting stuck that it's kicking off the hose like that?
Okay, and would that require that it be put up on a lift, or could they do it while it's...
No, they need to put it up on a lift.
Oh,
they,
I see.
They would need to put it up on a lift, and they need some time with it. Obviously, you know, I would make an appointment with a mechanic, take it to him with a quarter tank of fuel for a couple of reasons. Number one, he's going to have to put some fuel in it during the process. And number two, if for some reason there's a problem internally in the tank, and that could come up, if he's got to take the tank out, obviously easier with less fuel in it than more. So,
yeah.
All right. And if the mechanic wants to reference this conversation, if you want to give him, you know, you can tell him that you were on the Car Doctor on Saturday, whatever. What's today? Today's the 17th? Yeah. On Saturday 2/17, this will be up on our website under podcasts, you know, when the live broadcast goes to podcast. And you were in hour one down around the bottom of the hour, and they could actually listen to it and take it. And, you know, in all the years I'm on radio, I never thought of doing that. And lately people are telling me, hey, I took my segment, I played it for my mechanic, and he knew what to do. So, you know, if that helps, I'm glad to do it. All right?
Oh, all right. And I'm going to leave you with a question, and I'm going to get off the line.
Okay.
Do you feel that women are taken advantage of more than men?
Yes.
When they walk
yes.
into a mechanic?
Absolutely.
Okay, there's the answer.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But I'll tell
you
this.
We need classes.
I'll tell you this, Gloria. Now, wait, I'll tell you this. One of the things I found in my 27 years on radio and my 43 years of fixing cars, don't tell the guys this. It's easier talking to women. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why. Women seem to listen better. I'm not sure why. I'm not sure if that's maybe I'm looking at it wrong. You know, I raised three daughters and I'm still married after 30 something years. So I've learned to, you know, listen to women and hear what they've got to say. And it's a better connection. Again, it's the relationship thing. But yeah, I think women are intimidated. I think women have a harder time in the doctor's office, and I think they have a harder time in the police station for sure. I think they kind of get pushed around a little bit. So you've got to worry about them. You got to take care of them. So
okay,
all right.
We have to start a Me Too mechanic movement.
Yep.
Okay.
So a Me Too mechanic.
Thank you. Let somebody
I like
else.
That. Thank you, Gloria. You have a
bye,
good afternoon.
Bye, honey. Bye, Rod.
Bye, bye. So how sweet, right? Can we do that? Can we have a Me Too mechanic movement? My mechanic didn't fix my car right. Boy, you talk about sexual harassment. That list would probably go further out down the line. I wonder which is more. So let's pull over and take a pause real quick. 855-560-9900. Ron and Andy, the Car Doctor, coming right back. Don't go away. Back, Ron and Andy, the Car Doctor. Yeah, Tony, listen, you have to push that little button. Hang on a minute, folks. I got to help Tony here. You got to push that little button so the red light lights up.
It was an honest mistake. I'm human. Okay?
There you go. I knew I could get you to talk
just
on air.
Just remember,
today.
You know, you know, in a couple of years on the self-driving cars, you know, things happen. Okay.
Right. Well, I
this is human
that.
Error.
Listen, I knew I could get you to talk on air today. You know,
and
all
I can probably figure out how to program it. So you better be nice to Tony.
Nobody wants to talk to you. Get her back. And how was your week this week, Anthony?
It was fine. Yeah. It was fine.
Yeah. Always a pleasure to see you.
It's good to be seen.
Yeah. Well, that's absolutely true.
Yes.
So, are you ready to take the next call?
Yes, we're going to take Jim from Virginia.
Oh, there you go. Boy, you know, you keep it. Can we get a little more? Can you put a little more liveliness into it? Good. Try that again.
Now, the next call is online to Jim from Virginia.
Okay, there we go. Let's go to Jim from Virginia. I like that. Needs a little work. Jim, welcome to the Car Doctor, sir. How can I help?
Thank you very much. I have a 1997 Camaro Z28. It's a 30th anniversary edition automatic.
Okay.
And what has happened is I don't drive it very much anymore, trying to keep the miles off of it. I pulled it out, and when I went to start it, the battery wasn't dead, but it was low. But after three or four cranks, it fired right up. All my dash lights came on. I pulled it out, let it run 15 minutes, turned it off, turned it back on. All the lights went off. I thought, great, everything's good. I've had it since 2009, never had any problems. The battery is about a year and a half old. So as it's out there idling, the temperature starts going up, and the temperature has never gone up over 180 here in Virginia. In South Carolina one time, it went to 195, but it's 102 degrees outside. So I take it to the mechanic. We put a radiator cap, new fluid, thermostat in it, and a cooling temperature switch.
Okay. Cooling temperature switch.
So
cooling temperature switch for the fans.
Cooling fan number one, which is the running fan.
Right.
Fan two and three are the air conditioning fans, which if you turn the air conditioning on, it drops straight down to 180 again and stays there.
Okay.
So Chevrolet dealer and Chevrolet company cannot tell me when the fan is supposed to cut on and off. My mechanic puts it on the computer, and it's cutting on at 239 and cutting off at 226. This thing's got aluminum heads from the factory. It's never run that hot. I've disconnected the battery for the positive for a day, put a little charge on the battery. It's still doing the same thing. I'm at wit's end.
Let me ask you this, Jim. Any signs of air in the cooling system?
No, sir. We actually checked for that. We took the radiator cap off and let it run a good while. I've also replaced all the relays for the fans. So, you know, and my mechanic says, you know, maybe something's hit your computer when it went down, Jim, but I didn't jump start it. So he's a good mechanic. He doesn't want to throw parts at it.
Yeah, no, I get that. And I've got to tell you that 239 just sounds way too high. The switch that you changed, is you changed the switch for the fan itself?
Well, it's a cooling temperature sensor. It's a two pin switch that has like a heat sink looking thing where it screws down into the engine, I guess. He did that for me, so I wasn't there when he replaced it. He was just searching. He thought, you know, that was an easy, inexpensive thing we could throw at it.
Okay. So let me ask you this. Do you still have the old one?
I do.
Why? Well, because what I'm going to get to is I want to talk about brand. The brand that you got, GM doesn't make that part anymore, do they?
No, it was a Napa.
Okay. And I'm not picking on Napa, but I'm just, 239 is too high. All right? That sensor yep. should have, what color wires does it have going to it? A yellow and two blacks?
No,
a yellow and a black. It'll be a yellow and a black.
I think so, but I'm not here at the car right now. It's down in the garage. And like I say, I don't even know where this cooling sensor was on the car.
On the water pump?
Possibly.
Okay. You know, it's let's do this logically, all right? Let's do this as scientifically as we can. My wife had this same motor. We had a 94 Chevy wagon, same thing, a 5.7 P motor. This should be a P motor, correct? Tune port? Is it a tune port car?
Whatever's in a 97.
Tune port injection, right? This has 8 fuel injectors?
Yes, because
okay.
The next year they went to the LS1.
Right. This is a tune port car. So, you know, first thing we want to do is make sure we've got no air in the system. We want to bleed it, all right? Just to have that conversation, okay? Number two, when he did the thermostat, if I'm not mistaken, there should be a piddle valve on the thermostat. Make sure the piddle valve is in the right position just so that it can burp any air till the thermostat opens all the way. As the thermostat opens, is there a point before the 239? Are we feeling radiator hoses? Is one hot, one warm, or are they both? Is one really hot and one stone cold? Do you know what the hose temperature is?
I don't, but we did grab both the hoses, and I believe they were warm.
Okay, so we've got circulation. Ooh, I'll tell you what, Jim, sit tight a minute. I've got to pull over and take a pause before I run into trouble with Tony, and Tony's bigger than me, so I have to listen to him today. Stay right where you are, babe. I'll be right back to you. I'm Ron Ananian, the Car Doctor. We're coming back right after this. Welcome back. Ron Ananian, the Car Doctor. Let's be quick. Jim, you're still there.
Yes, sir.
There are how many fans on this car, two or three?
Three fans.
Okay. Two of them are side by side, and one of them is in front of the radiator?
Yes.
Okay. The two that are side by side, because I thought about what you said, the two that are side by side, do they come on together when they do come on?
They do.
Okay. And that's the way it's supposed to be. When they're in low speed, they should come on together, but 239 is too high. All right.
Absolutely.
If I remember correctly, and I'm going back a few years, I believe the spec was 227, 228, because I always remember thinking that was too high. And it's going to sound silly, but the reason I remember 228 was, remember the TV show Room 228?
I do.
Back a million years ago, and it just, I always think of it as, oh, yeah, it's Room 228. It's one of those cars, a little word association. But that's how I remember it. I think 227, 228 is where. So for some reason, those fans are coming on 12, 13 degrees higher than what they should be. And
yes, and it's just the fan one is the only one that's not coming on when it should, because when I turn the air conditioning on, the other two are air conditioning fans, from what I understand.
Right.
And it will bring it straight down to 180 again.
Right. Let me just tell you, say it like this. Fans one and two should come on low speed somewhere around 227. Remember, it was room 227, whatever. 227, 228. All right. And
okay.
Now at 239, are they both coming on?
From the way I remember it, fan one is the one that's coming on.
Okay, well,
until I turn the air conditioning on, and then two and three come on.
Then that's a problem right there. All right, my understanding, my memory is, and I could go do some research. And you could email me, and I'll be glad to send you what I find. But my memory is fans 1 and 2 run together low speed at 227, 228 degrees. So if the fans aren't coming on till 239, if that one fan is coming on, that sounds like, is that fan really spinning fast at 239?
No.
I'm wondering if that fan is coming on at high speed. I think high speed is 239. I'm wondering if you don't have a low speed control here. I'm wondering if your fans aren't operating at low speed, because in low speed they both come on, and high speed the one comes on. If I remember this correctly. Jim, you got a pencil real quick? Send me an email, ron@cardoctorshow.com. ron@cardoctorshow.com. Give me the VIN. I'll get you some information. I'm Ron and Ian, the Car Doctor. Good mechanics aren't expensive. They're priceless. See ya.